You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Used to seeing this, where there could be this many people and there is nothing that looks like it's in place. You know, there are pictures and video of, you know, police officers or whatever the law enforcement was walking away. I'm even hearing people talk about, you know, that they just stood by. You know, so I don't know what the command was, what the call was for, but there were actual people. Like, we are people, we are lawmakers, we were at work, and we have been told that when we're here on these grounds, that we are safe. Some of us have security detail because of things that have happened to us, but we're told when we're here, we are safe. But today was not that day.
Those are the words of newly elected Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush. This is January 7, 2021. And regardless of your politics, regardless of you voting for or against her or her party, she is right. She is absolutely right. If you are in the U.S. Capitol as an elected representative of the people, you should be safe. They did not feel safe yesterday, and in fact, they had good reason not to feel safe. It all began with a rally. It was going to pinpoint a start for tomorrow. I should say yesterday. It began with a rally attended by thousands who came for a rally that Donald Trump had encouraged. And then said from this rally, we will go down to the Congress and make sure they know that we want some of these votes thrown out because I still say the election was stolen from us. A lot of people share that. But regardless of your view, whether you accept the ballots as they were, or you still have questions, or you just don't know. The bottom line was, many in that crowd decided we weren't just going to march down there. We were going to start taking over the Capitol. And I told you yesterday, as that began to unfold while we're on the air, Trump has to say more than what he did. He has not said anything. The first reaction from the Trump administration actually came from Donald Trump Jr., saying this is not right. This is not the way we do things in this country. Eventually, President Trump had another tweet put out, but that actually had to come through one of his advisors because his tweet machine had been shut down by Twitter. And in fact, he also later had a tweet put out again, had to be this time sent by the deputy chief of staff, here's the tweet, even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. That message, there would be an orderly transition on January 20th for many, and that includes me, comes too late. That should have been stated earlier. But say, yes, we are going to use a constitutional right to challenge some of these ballots. That is inside the Constitution. It's allowable. And here's where I will differ from Cori Bush, and that is that she was saying she wants to introduce legislation to charge all legislators, Senate or House, who were voting to not certify, to challenge them, to charge them with a crime. No, you can't go that far. We've got later today Thomas Jimping coming up from the Heritage Foundation talking about various issues we're now going to face if the Democrats are in control, as they now will have the Senate. John Daniel Davidson will join us, political editor for The Federalist, about how the Georgia vote basically has spelled the end of the pre-Trump era. And we're going to break down more of the riot yesterday and some of the comments I've got up on my Facebook comment page already and some additional comments I made, which I'll share shortly. I have posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook a piece titled The Death of a Rioter at the U.S. Capitol. with a video of the woman who was shot, and you see clearly she was going through a broken window, a part of a door fixture. You can make all kinds of claims, and well, the officer could have fired a warning shot, should have done something else, but they had fallen back and fallen back, and at some point they decided this person coming through, we don't know what they've got with them. We don't know if they're carrying explosive. We don't know if they got weapons. And one shot was fired. It's a tragedy. But she shouldn't have been there. Rioters are not exercising First Amendment free, peaceful assembly. A lot to cover. Please stand by. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar. Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Ways.
A lot of us have a lot of questions, not just for questions for Donald Trump. He's an insurrectionist. There are no questions. He's arrested today. He should be sent to jail for insurrection against the United States of America. Donald J. Trump called for the insurrection against the United States of America.
Those are the words, the ranting of Joe Scarborough of MSNBC. And many are echoing it. In this chair, I make sure you hear all sides, whether or not you agree with them, whether or not I agree. I want you to hear all sides, and that is something that's front and center for many right now. And it is not just limited to the left. I'll give you more details on that in a moment. But while we're hearing from the left, again accusing Trump of being complicit and inspiring and you'd almost believe physically leading the charge into the Capitol. Here's another response. This one, again, newly elected Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush, who took over Congressman Clay's seat. She's a freshly minted congresswoman. And here's her remarks.
The sad part is this is an attack on our democracy and on our nation's capital. And for our president, the current president that only has a few days left, for him to say that these are very special people and how much he loves them. My question for him is, would you have so much love and respect if it was protesters like me fighting for Black lives and if we did the same thing at the White House?
You can't deny the legitimacy of the question. You may not like to hear it, but you can't deny it. And yes, a race card is being pulled in this, but it's a bigger issue than that. And I would hope it doesn't bog down to that, because I don't care what your color was, what your political stripes are, your race, your religion, your gender. If you were assaulting Capitol Police and rushing the Capitol, I don't mean just gathering on the steps outside, but pushing your way through doors, running through the halls, breaking into various members' offices, laughingly photographing yourself, carrying things out, or sitting at a desk, you are not a patriot. You are not a patriot. You do not get any blessing from me on that. You are a mob. And if I have, and I have in the past, called out BLM leaders, and Antifa in particular, but BLM and others, when they suddenly have a what was going to be a peaceful demonstration, either get hijacked or plan to go to an escalation of arson, looting, firing, attacking people, attacking police, destroying property, federal buildings, state buildings, I have to label these people the same way. They are just the same. A mob is a mob. Do not try to hide behind the U.S. flag. Do not try to hide behind your race. Do not try to hide behind your gender or your political stripes. You could put all the camouflage on you want. We see who you are and what you are. And Trump, while I do not like what happened yesterday, and he could, depending upon your perspective, be blamed directly, I do take fault with him for the fact that once it started, he didn't take more direct action. And she referred, Cori Bush referred to, that Trump at one point said, I love you people. I know what she's referring to. I've had a hard time with everything that was going on and still have not verified exactly when he made that statement. Now, my understanding is he might have been making it as the assault was underway of the Capitol. If so, he was absolutely wrong. I'm reading pieces, this one from Fox News, saying that he praised the crowd who broke into the Capitol through force, fought with Capitol Police, telling them, we love you, you're very special. Again, if he did it while they were in the midst of doing it, he was absolutely wrong. He might have said the same thing before when they were gathering just to show they are for a questioning of the election, which is certainly within our constitutional rights, but not to do it once they go through those doors like that. So again, I don't really know the time frame. If you want to accept the fact that he did it after they were starting to assault and riot, and that's assuming Twitter, somebody along the line didn't hold up the message for a while. I'm not looking for excuses. I'm just saying I don't know. Do you? We cannot forget really what has also happened, and that is that we did get the people's work done last night. Vice President Mike Pence did conclude the joint session of Congress certifying electoral votes for President-elect Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris as the Vice President-elect. And he also had made remarks decrying these supporters of Trump who had stormed the Capitol. And he said, Vice President Pence, to those who wreaked havoc in our Capitol today, you did not win. Violence never wins. Freedom wins. This is the people's house. And he added, today was a dark day in the history of the U.S. Capitol. But thanks to the swift efforts of Capitol Police, federal, state, and local law enforcement, the violence was quelled. I'm going to have to question that. I don't think it was quick enough. In fact, there's a lot of questions about security at the Capitol. Things that I would have thought would have been resolved long before something like this happened with what's happening in the nation, I cannot believe. Now, again, it may also get back, and we're going to get into it, where the Capitol Police and others reluctant to take a more aggressive action because, what, Trump supporters are claiming to be, are being white? I mean, is that how you're going to justify securing a federal facility? Those are legitimate questions. President Donald Trump has said in a statement, as I stated a moment ago, it had to be shared by his deputy chief of staff on Twitter because his accounts are frozen. He said, even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election, and the facts bear me out, I will tell you right now, strike those words, because the facts do not bear out what Trump is saying, nor do they bear out that the election was fully free of fraud. That was the whole idea. Let's question it. We never got a chance to really look at the evidence. So I'm not going to support Trump on saying the facts bear me out. I've never said it is obvious. I said there are a lot of obvious questions that need to be resolved. But anyway, going back to his statement, even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition January 20th. In my opinion, it was always going to be that way, but Trump was dancing around, using language, words, and so forth that others were interpreting as they chose, rather than being that specific and that direct. And in fact, Missouri Congressman Josh Hawley, Republican, is conceding, I don't think urging people to come to the Capitol was a good idea. Hawley has been one of Trump's staunchest supporters in the Senate. He was leading the effort by some Republican senators to object to the electoral vote. Now, he's not blaming Trump for the violence, but what he is saying, I don't think it's a good idea to encourage people to come to the Capitol. Trump had made it clear some days ago, we're going to have a big gathering in D.C. on the 6th. It's going to be a wild thing. Now, you interpret those words the way you want to. If you're an anti-Trumper, you're going to say, clearly, it's a treasonous act against the government. And then we have the push for the 25th Amendment. The next voice you're going to hear is a Republican Congress member from Illinois, representing the 16th District, which is basically areas west of Chicago. The 16th Congressional District in Illinois, Congressman Adam Kinzinger.
Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows a majority of the cabinet and the vice president to assume the duties of the office of presidency until the president is able to himself. It's time to invoke the 25th Amendment and to end this nightmare. We will arise from this, but we cannot forget what led us here. The liars and conspiracy authors are already at it again this morning with false narratives about yesterday's disaster. Here's the truth. The president caused this. The president is unfit, and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily.
Again, that's Congressman Adam Kinzinger saying do it now, do it before he can leave office on Inauguration Day. Many others are doing the same, making the same remarks, and on both sides of the aisle. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer has already said it. So has, I believe, Pelosi again. Congresswoman Bush, you were hearing a moment ago, and others. Yesterday, as this began to unfold and we were actually on the air live, I was trying to watch various feeds I have coming in and comments, and I couldn't respond to some at the point. But I had one that I got to later, and it came from Brian. He said, so how's it feel to be part of the problem, Larry? How's it feel to be part of the problem, Larry? This is as we were having the rioting going on. I couldn't respond then, so then when I saw that, my response is, if I'm part of the problem because I have legitimate constitutional questions about this last election, I am guilty. But I'm not guilty of encouraging, suggesting the mob action we're seeing at the Capitol, and I condemned it just as harshly. Brian's response is, right, I'll believe it when I see it. And I added, if you'd listened, you would have heard me say it several times today. You go to the podcast, hear today's program, and listen. What I did not say is that just putting on a Trump cap or waving a Trump flag makes him legitimate supporters. Now, to that point, I'm not going to try to say members of Antifa and other activist groups were the majority going up those steps. I do not believe that. I believe the majority of them were Trump supporters. I believe many were just caught up in the moment. That's not justification. I'm just saying they did. They just kind of rushed forward. They got, you know, they kind of went with it. Then things began to really escalate. Many turned around. The thousands and thousands that had gathered for that rally did not assault the Capitol. Hundreds did. As I said, I did post at Larry Connors USA Facebook the death of a rioter at the U.S. Capitol with the images of the person shot. And I point out this. This is a tragedy that should not have happened. You can argue that maybe a warning shot would have sufficed, but rioters had already pushed past Capitol and D.C. police, When the woman starts trying to crawl through a broken door window, law enforcement had no idea what the intruder was intending, carrying, and took action to stop the crime. Make no mistake, I'm clearly not calling her a protester. Just as I have said when Antifa's, BLM, Proud Boys, KKK move from First Amendment, a peaceful assembly, they're not protesters, they are rioters. Not that it matters, but the officer firing the shot probably didn't even know if the intruder was male, female, maybe not even the race. Maybe this victim, her name, Ashiel Babbitt, went to the earlier demonstration with no intent to attack the Capitol, but she did. She's an adult, an Air Force vet who served his country, but at this moment, she's joining others in threatening our democracy, elected members of Congress, law enforcement. There may have been Antifa and related groups taking advantage of this assault. Simply wearing a Trump hat, waving a Trump flag, does not mean all were Trump supporters. But I still believe most were Trump supporters. And again, those attacking the nation's capital, threatening legislators and others, not being patriotic, nothing more than a mob assaulting our democracy. One other point, the far left will use this event to label true patriots as dangerous. Those tactics will be used to try to silence many. Don't allow yourself to become a victim of those claims. You are not part of that. You use your rights under the Constitution. That does not include violence. Take a break when we come back. The race issue again regarding what happened at the Capitol yesterday.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Had it been people who look like me, had it been the same amount of people, but had they been black and brown, we wouldn't have made it up those steps. We wouldn't have made it to be able to get into the door and bust windows and go put our feet up on desks of Congress members. We wouldn't have made it that far. We would have been shot.
Those are the words of newly elected Congresswoman Cori Bush, Democrat of Missouri. You can't just flatly discount what she says. But, unfortunately, it's also based in the constant narrative that people of color are always going to be shot by police. That way, always do it. Never give them another chance. That's it. Don't buy into that. At the same time, don't buy into the fact that if it had been mostly people of color, it would have happened differently. But we don't know, do we? We don't know. Now, I will say this. Among the rioters I saw, I didn't see anyone of color that I could identify. Some look like they might have Indian or Asian heritage, but that's not for me to decide. But again, we don't base our security and law based upon color, religion, race, politics. We base it upon the foundation of law and justice. But I want you to hear Cori Bush, and we're going to discuss it more in the next part of the next hour as well. I don't want it just simply dismissed. I do have an issue with something else she did, and that she drafted a resolution calling for the expulsion to expel Republican Congress members that pledged to object to the results of the Electoral College. That's a legitimate constitutional action. And she wants to call to expel them for that action? Well, now she's wrong on that point. That is perfectly legitimate, and in fact, if she knew her history, Democrats have done it in the past as well. Regarding the fault of Trump, again, I'm telling you, I'm laying it all out. I'm not as I did yesterday. I was not giving full backing for him that I said he should have been doing more, speaking out more. And I repeat it again today. And you, depending upon your perspective, can either blame him directly or possibly link to. You might take the approach of here, Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican in North Dakota. He says the call by Trump to march and march down to the Capitol, it was inciting. That's his impression. He goes on to say, but it's not Trump's fault. People made decisions to break into this building and start desecrating this incredible temple of democracy. It's every individual who made that decision's fault. That I agree with. And we had Democrat members, of course, under attack, and so they suddenly realized we need better security and we can't have people run through the streets and do this. There have been people under threat in various places around the nation when Antifa and others either assault in college campuses, facilities, and are in Portland going after a courthouse, trying to firebomb it, knowing agents and others were inside. And now suddenly they are awakened that, yeah, we cannot have this rule. They also own a piece of this by not saying, this is not how we get things done. This is not how we do it. What we are going to see, and we'll cover in more detail in the next hour, and that is the repercussions of this is going to be massive. Massive inside our country. For anyone who tries to state that they are conservative, patriot, or even if they had been a Trump supporter or have a Trump banner, whatever, still now, or even flying the U.S. flag, they may be assaulted and accused of participating in what happened yesterday. That's wrong. That's wrong. I didn't participate in it. Many of you listening didn't participate. Many of you may not even fully agree with what I've said today, but you did not participate in that. As I said, we'll spend some more time on that in the next hour as well. We do have changes coming. And what kind of changes are we going to see regarding our government moving forward? This is critical because now the Senate is split 50-50. And Vice President Kamala Harris will have the deciding vote on some major issues. We're going to be joined by Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation on constitutional questions when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And of course, we have, as I said, going to see a lot of changes coming down the road as the Senate and the House are controlled by the Democrats. They've already been talking about what they're going to do to make D.C. a state and Puerto Rico a state. The idea, of course, to create more senators. It would be Democrat senators. And of course, they're looking at ending the filibuster rule so they can do a lot quicker things, faster the way they want to do them without going through the certification, things of that nature. I mean, and basically abandoning various rules that could be in place. And of course, we also had the issue of court packing. They have been obviously upset that Trump got the appointments he did to the U.S. Supreme Court. You have to keep in mind that Joe Biden, if he gets a chance to nominate a Supreme Court justice, if any of those currently on the bench decide to step aside, Biden will have the chance to make that nomination, or Kamala, if she's in the office at that time, and it will sail through the Senate because it will be 50-50. So it more likely would just sail through. So to understand the court packing and the other issues that are facing the nation under all three branches being controlled by the Democrats and in some cases radical Democrats, Thomas Gipping with the Heritage Foundation. Tom, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I tell you, first of all, before we get into some of these details, I was just discussing some things which you've already written in reference, court packing, filibuster, and some other items. But before I do, I would be remiss not giving you an opportunity to add a personal response to what we saw happen at the Capitol yesterday.
Well, I think the biggest kind of punch in the gut for me, just because I worked in the Senate for 15 years, was the images of, you know, these rioters entering the Senate chamber itself and kind of marauding around and so on. I've never imagined anything like it, let alone saw anything like it. I think we have to be honest about it. Some people are quite quick to immediately say, well, Antifa was, you know, at the heart of it all, and they were infiltrating and trying to make excuses and stuff. I don't think there are any excuses for what we saw. That kind of thing hasn't happened in the Capitol in 200 years.
And I agree with you. I agree with you fully.
It was just horrifying. Yeah, horrifying.
It was. Now, and of course, based upon that, and you wrote an extensive piece back in October when Pelosi was considering using the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump, but we now have an Illinois Congressman Kinzinger, Republican, saying the same thing. He's introducing it. How's that play now against this background, very briefly?
That's just silly. In 2 weeks, President Trump is gone. So just let it play out the way it's supposed to. Talk about the 25th Amendment or impeaching him again or whatever it is. By the time they get around to figuring out how to do that, Joe Biden will have taken the oath of office. So I just think that's silly.
All right, so let's get to the issue that we are going to face going forward, the legislation down the road, and that is court packing. Well, you did an excellent piece along with your colleague Giancarlo on the Daily Signal about why court packing would be devastating to our republic.
Well, for a couple of reasons, I think people need to understand one principle that we, you know, don't talk about a lot, but that is the independence of our judiciary from the political branches. Believe it or not, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, one of the reasons that America exists is judicial independence. The Declaration has a list of complaints that we had against King George III, and on that list, it includes ways that the king was manipulating the courts. And so this idea that the judicial branch should be independent of the other two branches is at the heart of why we are a country at all. And that's the principle that's in jeopardy by this thing called court packing, because for a simple and practical reason, the president appoints judges, but judges decide when they leave. Judges decide when those vacancies occur because they don't have limited terms. They leave when they want to.
A lifetime.
And that means that the president, he gets to make appointments, but he doesn't get to decide when he does that. That's independence. That's a check. Court packing means Congress would create new judgeships now by legislation, and the president of their own party would fill them now.
And if they control the Senate, they will certainly get quickly passed.
Well, they could, although, of course, you know, people who know a little bit of history know that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to do this in the 1930s. Well,
right.
The Senate at that time was 80-16 Democrat, right? They could have done anything they wanted, and Democrats still said, no, this is not a good idea. Today, we obviously know that we got a 50-50 Senate, and the only way to get this past the Senate would be to change the Senate itself. And the kind of role that the Senate has played for the last 200 years. So the only way to do this hostile takeover of the judiciary would be to destroy both the independence of the judiciary and the unique character of the United States Senate. I mean, you'd be trashing traditions and institutional character that has developed for more than two centuries. That's a lot of carnage to leave behind simply because you want to capture the Supreme Court. It would do a lot of damage.
Obama was certainly hoping Ruth Bader Ginsburg would leave on his watch so he could appoint someone. She probably thought that Trump was not going to win the last 4 years, so she was going to hang on for Hillary, I guess. But bottom line is she didn't. And she had stated in 2019 when it comes to increasing the numbers of the court, packing them, she said nine, quote, seems to be a good number. So
yeah,
she was against it.
Well, and you know, you decide how many positions a court needs by how many positions a court needs. How much work do they have? That's an administrative kind of organizational decision that needs to be made. The Supreme Court has had 9 members since 1869. And frankly, they decide half as many cases as they did each year 20 years ago. So there's absolutely no argument that the Supreme Court needs more positions. The only reason to try to do it is to, in effect, a hostile takeover of the Supreme Court. You know, Ginsburg's decision there is exactly what I was just talking about a minute ago. She, as a Supreme Court justice, was independent. She wasn't going to leave just because the president told her to. She decided when she was going to leave, and that meant that the vacancy did not open up during, you know, when President Obama wanted.
No,
this is the opposite. This is creating vacancies when the president wants, when Congress wants, to create a Supreme Court that will do what they want.
Obama did have a chance with the death of Scalia in 2016, and he did nominate Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court, but the Senate Majority Leader at that time refused. We were months out from the election at that point. He said it's a lame duck presidency. We're not going to do it, basically. And yet the Republicans did this time around. That aside, Biden is apparently ready to nominate or has announced he will nominate Judge Merrick Garland now as Attorney General. Your thoughts on that?
Well, objectively speaking, in terms of someone who he wouldn't be the first federal appeals court judge to take a position like that. And it just objectively speaking, Garland would be qualified, and he'd be the kind of person who I would think a Biden administration would appoint. I think in part, and, you know, Judge Garland is almost 70 years old, so I think in part appointing him is a way of keeping that name, Merrick Garland, in front of people, because it's taken on for the left so much significance, and it just, I mean, literally, they get heartburn whenever you say the name.
Yeah.
And this is a way of kind of keeping that in the news and what have you. But he's a distinguished, you know, experienced person in the law. And, you know, I think it's actually a reasonable choice for a Biden administration. There's a lot more radical people who Biden could pick and that I'm sure the far left would want him to pick than Merrick Garland.
Well, to wrap up in our last 45 seconds to or so here, circle back around, the rioting on the assault on the Capitol yesterday, putting it against the face of our U.S. Constitution, what's it say about our democracy going forward?
I'm not sure that the rioting itself is what says something about our democracy, but I think it's what follows. How it's handled, how our representatives respond to it, I think there's a lot at stake, but it's at stake in what follows something like that happening, and we don't know. I think there's great challenges ahead when you have a very narrowly divided House, when you have a 50-50 Senate that it's only happened twice in 100 years, and a Democratic president who, while he won by the same margin in the Electoral College that Trump did 4 years ago, did not have an overwhelming victory in the popular vote. There's a lot of challenges coming up. And I think it's the way our representatives and our leaders respond to that.
All right, good.
That's really going to tell us a lot.
Thomas Gipping, I certainly appreciate your time and your expertise, sir.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. Thomas Gipping with the Heritage Foundation. There's a piece that was in the Federalist I want to share with you that says the people who were hurt the most by the rioting yesterday were the ones who are already suffering. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I've got a piece in front of me I want to share with you from Emily Jashinsky. Emily Jashinsky is a contributor to The Federalist. She's listed as a culture editor. But obviously this reporting is more than, well, I don't know what you define as culture, but in this piece it's a very good, insightful piece on what was happening in D.C. because she was there. And it's titled, "The Capitol Riot Will Hurt the People Who Are Already Hurting Most." Interesting question, statement right away. He goes on to say, "The decent rallygoers continually ignored and smeared, now saddled with the baggage of violence they did not commit." That's a point I've been making earlier today, I made yesterday, I made on Facebook, I will continue to say that this event will be weaponized and used against conservatives, patriots, for decades to come. It will be the new race card, if you want to find some comparison to it, because it's just something easy to throw up and everybody back up. No, I wasn't there. I agree. Well, we do need to defend the fight that we don't agree with it. But don't give up your rights. You have constitutional rights. We'll get into that in more detail a little bit later in the next hour as well. Let you hear a piece from Tucker Carlson on it. But back to the article in The Federalist by Emily Jashinsky. She says that she was there as protesters marched from the president's speech, to the Capitol, making the scenic journey down Constitutional Avenue. "I met a mild-mannered woman from the same corner of Wisconsin, which I grew up. She had never voted before Donald Trump ran for president. She traveled to the Capitol because she loves the president. Not long after our conversation, hundreds of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. They climbed the walls, pushed past police, roamed the halls, destroying property, taking selfies. A 14-year veteran, Air Force veteran, did not leave the building alive. It was a disgraceful sight." And her writing in her article continues. "There are those who believe Antifa showed up to incite the chaos. It's possible such an attempt was made, but even if it was, there is simply no way around the fact that hundreds of Trump supporters broke into the Capitol. Thousands more chose not to participate, leaving early or watching from a distance. From my vantage point on the east side of the Capitol, I saw genuine Trump supporters rushing up a staircase by the dozens until the crowd was too dense to move." She said, "I saw some climbing the wall, chanting, 'Whose house? Our house.' Some chanting, 'Do your job.'" And again, she adds, "Antifa may have been mixed into the fray, but to accurately diagnose this deep wound, it's important to be crystal clear. Trump supporters rioted. Indeed, many were very proud to do it." And then she says, "You look at some of the video many had been posting, and yes, there was a lot of that. I saw that as well. We discussed it yesterday." And then she gets to this point. "So the blame game rages on. Rioting is the fault of the rioters, but they'd just been told by the president that a landslide election was being stolen from him. Many people trust Donald Trump. They'd been lied to by the media for years." That's a key point right there. "They'd been lied to by the media for years. They'd been smeared as racist by elites and peers alike. With no other sources to turn to, they turned to the man who seems to hear them. He took advantage of that to lessen the blow of a narrow reelection loss." You know, I had pointed out it previously, and Trump had even said at one point in one of the debates, if I recall it was a debate, he said, "The reason I'm here is because you guys created me." And by that, he's talking about the Obama administration and everything that was taking place then, and Hillary and what she stood for when he ran against Hillary. There was a vacuum. It got filled by a guy who came forward and said, "I'm going to do it, and I will carry out." And he did. He did do a lot of it. But sometimes even the most gracious and kind king, and this is not a king, it's a president, not anointed, but even the most gracious and kind king sometimes does things wrong and is sometimes letting his own fear, jealousy, anger rule. Those are my words, not her words from the Federalist article. I want to make sure there's a distinction. But she does say this. "For years now, Republicans have been pressed daily to strike a delicate balance, ignoring bad tweets to maintain a working relationship with the president, beloved by many of their constituents. They had a reasonable argument for doing that. It pushed them to be more responsive to disenfranchised working-class voters. It gave them a seat at the table. But in the waning days of Trump's tenure, one of the worst-case scenarios of a loose-lipped president came to pass. Very well-written article. And she does say that the Capitol riot's going to hurt the people already hurting the most. The decent rally-goers at a loss for answers, continually ignored, smeared, saddled now with the baggage of violence that they did not commit. And that's the way it's going to be presented. It will be. It already is. And not just in this country. Around the world. Around the world. And Iranian leaders, and President Xi of China, North Korean leaders, all of them, they're laughing and enjoying it. And they're thinking that never would have happened in my country. And they're right. Machine guns would have been opening fire on everyone, regardless of color. But we will discuss that part, the security as well, coming up in the next part. And again, how many people are suffering because of what did happen.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.